I am a senior, so I guess that makes me the older. Well, I thought I'd give you an update on my brother. We've been praying for my brother who has cancer. And last time I talked about the update, they spotted three more spots on his lymph nodes and on his liver. However, we're excited to say, I just got this information recently this week, after further investigations, they found that the cancer is reducing. So they're excited about that. And more importantly, because he had instructed in his shoulder a titanium rod for his shoulder because he had cancer in his bones, that they removed, and the bone is healing on its own, which is fantastic. The bone is naturally healing on its own. So the cancer seems to be in remission at this point. Continue to pray that the healing process is complete. It's exciting, the fact that we're going to go this feast and spend time with him, because we didn't know what the situation was going to be and how much time we would have to see him. It seems like we're going to be able to spend more time with my brother, so that's going to be really exciting. So I thank you for your prayers. He thanks you for your prayers, and he appreciates, and I just want to give you that up there. I thought that was really exciting. And especially now that we're coming into the Pentecost season, and we realize we'll be hearing six messages starting today. And Brandon gave the first one. I wasn't sure where I wanted to go today, because I thought, do I go full force into Pentecost and then leave kind of like hardly anything left for tomorrow's messages? But I think you'll find that we all come up with different ideas, different suggestions of things, what to speak about. And I was thinking about what to speak about today. And I came up with a subject that I spoke on once before, but I'm going to kind of elaborate a little bit more on this subject, because I think it's very important that as we realize, when Lucifer rebelled, God had in his plan a purpose for mankind. And he knew that with the rebellion of Lucifer, that Lucifer would try to destroy mankind, that he would attack mankind, he would come after him, and he would do everything he could to discourage mankind and cause him to reject God. And yet God, in his merciful, loving plan, knew what he needed to do for mankind. And that wonderful plan is a gift. It's a gift that he has given mankind. And that gift entails many, many things. Now, as I was preparing, I was thinking, okay, I want to talk about some of the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does for us. It does for us and in us. And I thought, I'm going to start preparing. Well, I found that there's been references of up to 50, and I say 50, elements that the Holy Spirit does for us and in us. Now, because of time, we have to leave the hall early. And, of course, now it's already noontime, so it's afternoon. I'm not going to give all 50 points. So you probably say, whew, thanks. But it's very important. There are many, many features that the Holy Spirit does for us and in us that it should be encouraging for every one of us to think about these aspects of the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to give you some of the important ones, and not all of them. I can't give all 50. If you want to research, there's several references of the different 50 ones that are listed. The Good News, of course, has a listing, which I'm going to refer to a lot of them here. And I think if you find it's more than just receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, some people say, well, I've received the Holy Spirit, indwelling Spirit, and then some of the basic understandings of what the Holy Spirit does for us. Our loving God, our great merciful Creator, and Jesus Christ, had a plan of giving us His Holy Spirit, which entitles us to be part of the kingdom of God that's coming. And it's just a wonderful plan that our loving Father has done for us. The Spirit is extremely powerful. It's not just we have the Holy Spirit and that's all it is to it. It's very, very powerful. And it does wonderful practical things for each and every one of us. Things that help us in our lives. and things that I think we need to think about as we prepare now into the Pentecost season, what the Holy Spirit does for us, and how it is a truly blessing that our Heavenly Father has given us. And some of these blessings are just amazing, because it reveals the loving God that we serve and how powerful He really is. So I'm just going to go over quickly. The Spirit is just amazing. The Holy Spirit provides what we need to grow spiritually. And so it helps us. And God even refers to it as a comforter and a helper. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. It's a helper. Because we're going to need the Holy Spirit in order to be in the kingdom of God. It's not just receiving the Holy Spirit and that's all it is to it. It's going to help us in many, many ways. And so I'm going to discuss some of these ways that the Holy Spirit helps us as a comforter and as a helper, I think, in order to help us fulfill our commission and our calling. So to begin with, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 22. Actually, I'm going to back up a little bit. It says, let's look at verse 20. I'm breaking into the thought here. This is in reference to building a foundation, it says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fit firmly together grows into a holy temple. Now, we cannot grow into a holy temple on our own. We can't do it. There's no way. But it says, in whom you are also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. That is what we needed in order to be able to build upon our foundation that God wants us to build upon. It's going to require the Holy Spirit to be able to build upon that. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is fantastic. Because with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we receive so many blessings, things that sometimes we just can easily take for granted. But they're there for us as a helper and as a comforter. Let's look at 2 Peter. Now again, I mentioned there's documented at least 50 characteristic features that help us by the Holy Spirit. So it's more than just a tiny subject. It's a huge subject. And there's no way I can cover all the different 50 points. So a lot of it's going to have to be on your shoulders to research and study about the Holy Spirit. I think you'll be amazed as you read the scriptures. The Bible's just filled with scriptures in reference to the Holy Spirit. So I can't even begin to touch the iceberg of how great our loving Father prepared for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit and what it does for us. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm getting there. As we get older, we have to use bifocals. So if I misspell words or mispronounce words, it's not that I intend to. It's just I'm constantly raising and lowering. The Bible says the eyes will grow dim as we get older, and you'll find that as you get older, those things do occur. Even the grinders wear out, as we were told, in our teeth. But we still endure to the end, no matter what's left of us. You know, the scriptures refer to that, you know, we fade away physically, but we're renewed daily through the Spirit daily. That's what keeps us going, even though we're physically slowly wearing out. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verse 18. Now here it says, for Christ has once suffered for sins and just the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So the purpose was for the sacrificing of Jesus Christ was to bring us close to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And so because of his death, we were able to receive the Spirit. Now we understand that it helps us to grow into the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the foundation of how our sins are forgiven. But the Spirit is what helps us to overcome. Overcomes it, and it teaches us what Jesus Christ and God the Father wants us to know. So it's a remarkable, again, characteristic. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, I'm just going to refer to that, because you know the fruits of the Spirit, and it starts with love. And that's what our Heavenly Father, His Spirit of love, reaches out through the fruit of the Spirit that we develop because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We can achieve and have each of one of those characteristics that God has: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are just the tip of the iceberg of the characteristics that we can develop because of the Holy Spirit that God gives us. And it all starts with love, which is what God wanted from the very beginning. He wanted to expand His family, and as He expanded His family, He realized mankind needed a helper, because man without the Holy Spirit will not be in the kingdom of God. It's as simple as that. Unless we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we will not be in the kingdom of God. And the Bible tells that very clearly. So it's very important that we do have the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, I don't know. I see my life and I don't know if I have God's Holy Spirit or not. Well, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 shows us what we need to produce. And so even when you feel you're lacking love or you're lacking peace or and you're constantly long-suffering in ways that are negative, you can draw upon the Holy Spirit to continue to grow in these fruits, to produce love, to produce joy, to produce long-suffering, to produce kindness and goodness and faithfulness. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit in you that produces these fruits. And that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit. He wants us to grow in grace and knowledge. And part of that is also developing fruit. And so it's very encouraging how the Holy Spirit enables us to produce these fruits in Galatians 5:22. It also gives us wisdom. And a lot of times people say, well, I just don't seem to have wisdom. Well, if you lack wisdom, you ask God and He'll give it to you through the Holy Spirit. Let's look at James 1. James chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 5. And it says very plainly, if any of you lack wisdom, and sometimes we wonder, do I have wisdom? You know, I made stupid mistakes in my life, and where's the wisdom? Well, if you lack wisdom, it says in verse 5, let him ask of God, and he'll give it to men all liberally and unabraded not, and it shall be given to him through the Holy Spirit. And that's how we gain wisdom, is through the Holy Spirit. That's another characteristic of the Holy Spirit. It gives us wisdom. It gives us the wisdom of God, and it encourages us. And even when we make stupid, dumb mistakes, God forgives us of those stupid, dumb mistakes that we make in our lifetime. But He encourages us to gain wisdom if we lack wisdom, and ask for it. Some people are just too proud to even ask. And God says, ask and I'll give it to you. And so these are another characteristic of the Holy Spirit, is wisdom. Over in James 3, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So all these wonderful gifts that we receive of the Holy Spirit is from God. We have to give God the credit and give Him the thanks. Because, again, without the Holy Spirit, we will not be in the kingdom of God. And so we have to realize, out of God's loving kindness, He wants us in His family. He wants us to be part of it. And so He gives us the gift of these blessings. It gives us peace, the gentleness, and the willingness to yield to others. Even when we make mistakes, we can go to others and apologize, tell them we're sorry. That's part of the fruit of love. When you go to your brother and you have a problem with a brother, you go to your brother in love and get it reconciled. Too many people don't follow that procedure. They become angry with one another and they leave and they part as enemies. But with the love of God, you can reconcile with individuals, and that's so important. People can overcome our sinful nature. Over in Romans chapter 6, when we struggle physically, which a lot of people do, we can overcome that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 13. This is what we were before we received the Holy Spirit. It says, neither yield your members to instruments of unrighteousness, unto sin. We all sin. Anybody who says they've never sinned, they haven't read the Bible, because the Bible said all men have sinned. And so we realize that's what we were before we received the Holy Spirit. Now, let's continue in verse 13. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, because we're brought back from the dead physically or spiritually as well, in the fact that our sins committed us to the penalty of death. We received that penalty. Sin is a transgression, and the penalty is death. But because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we realize we have the opportunity to be forgiven. It says, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So the Holy Spirit now gives us instrument that we need to be righteous. And we, again, righteousness comes from God. It's unto God. So again, it's just a wonderful blessing to know that we can overcome our sinful nature prior to being called into the church of God and receiving the Holy Spirit. And once we've been called and we were baptized and had the laying on of hands and receiving of the Holy Spirit, now we can overcome our sinful nature. And mankind's nature is enmity against God. It does not desire to go God's way. It doesn't want to know God. If you know anyone who does not have the Holy Spirit, you can see anger, bitterness. The fruits are terrible. But the fruits of God's Spirit are wonderful fruits. It helps us to resist the devil. James 4. When we're struggling, over in James again, let's go back to James chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. It tells us what we need to do to resist the devil. And that's, again, the Holy Spirit telling us, instructing us what we need to do. James 4, chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So we got to stay close to God. That is the whole purpose of growing and developing character, is staying close to God. It says, if we stay close to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. The devil knows he can't win the battle if we stay close to God and we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us and we're developing the character that God wants us to have. The devil can't win the battle. He will try. Definitely, he will try. He will do everything he possibly can to come at you. He'll try to knock you down. But, brethren, don't ever give up of the Holy Spirit. It says, don't quench the Spirit. People have quenched the Spirit in the past, and the devil won the battle. We have to stay strong, we have to stay firm, we have to stay close to God. And that's how we do that. By staying close to God, we can, and receiving God's Holy Spirit, we can be strong. Strong in faith, strong in character, and developing fruit that God wants us to have. And we can overcome Satan. Anything that he throws at us, we can have the power by the Holy Spirit to be able to resist that. And he'll flee from us. Another important aspect is, it's a down payment. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of eternal life that resides within us. That should be extremely encouraging. Ephesians, let's refer to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. So God gave us just a tad of the Holy Spirit as a down payment. Because once we are fully eternalized, we become eternal beings, we'll have the full magnitude of what the Holy Spirit is all about. Right now, we have glimpses and a little bit of understanding of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get confused of what the Holy Spirit's all about. But when we're fully eternalized at the return of Jesus Christ, we will have the full understanding of what the Holy Spirit is all about. But here over in Ephesians, it's just a down payment. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll look at 13 and 14. So it kind of secures us. It gives us a prepayment in advance of what God expects of us here. And in whom you were trusted, after you have heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed. And so after we heard the truth and we started believing and received, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchase of the possession into the praise of his glory. And that's what we're all looking forward to. That's what we're all growing towards perfection and growing in character. And the Holy Spirit will get us there. We have the down payment. God has given us the down payment, which is very, very important, because without it, we will not be in the kingdom of God. But that's not it. We don't just stop and say, okay, I have my down payment now. I don't do anything with it. God expects us to grow and develop character. He expects us to use that Holy Spirit for the purpose of growing. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 5. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We'll look at verse 5. I said Chronicles, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians. So if you're turning the wrong book, sorry. It's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5. Now he that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also has given us unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And so we want to be with God, but we have the physical body. We must endure our trials that we have to face and deal with the circumstances. But we also realize that the down payment enables us to grow and develop and produce the fruits. Over in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. 1 John 5. And verse 11. And this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. And so that is going to be our reward for being faithful, for enduring to the end. We realize it's going to be a tough battle. When you see the prophecies of what's going to take place in the future, it's not going to be an easy road. But the Holy Spirit keeps us on the straight and narrow path. It enables us because it shows us where we need to be. And it will help us to receive eternal life. And we realize that's what we're all striving for and we're all looking forward to, is the kingdom of God and being in His family. So that down payment is there. That tells us that we are the children of God. Isn't that fantastic? To know we are the children of God because we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Now, I know our children say, well, I'm not baptized, and I haven't had the laying on of hands on me, and I don't have the God's Holy Spirit. You are being led by the Holy Spirit. And that's very important, too. Being led by the Holy Spirit will show you right from wrong. It'll keep you on that straight and narrow path. And then when you're old enough to choose whether you want to be baptized or not, you will have also the opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. But till then, you are being led by the Holy Spirit. So don't ever get discouraged thinking, well, I don't have God's Holy Spirit. You know, you are being led by the Spirit. That's very, very important too. God will lead you and guide you. He will encourage you. He will help you. And He will give you what you need in your youth to have a good and happy life. It's fantastic. You don't have to suffer the consequences that a lot of people in the world do, because they don't have God's Holy Spirit. They don't have access to being led by the Holy Spirit. And so you're very, very blessed to have that opportunity. And of course, we want to also encourage your parents to continue to teach you and instruct you and show you the way. Once you're of age, it's your choice. You come to the point where you come to the crossroad and you say, okay, you're either going to follow through and stay faithful to God, or you're going to go out into the world. Now, many follow out into the world and struggle, but many do come back, and that's very encouraging. The Spirit can lead you back. And that's, again, very encouraging for each and every one of us to realize that even if we make mistakes and we turn away from God, God never, ever gives up on us. Isn't that encouraging to know that? The Holy Spirit is always reaching out to us, enabling us to come back if we choose to come back. We have to repent. We just can't come back with our sins and our faults, but we can come back. And that can be encouraging for anyone who has turned away from God to realize God never, never, ever gives up on you or anyone who ever turns away from God. He's always encouraging us to come back. The prodigal son's example. I mean, I know that's the physical example there of the prodigal son, but he came back and he realized and he humbled himself. And so it's just a wonderful example that God never ever, and the Holy Spirit never ever gives up on us. The Holy Spirit recognizes us as the children of God. I think that's very, very important. It helps us to assure us that in John, 1 John, let's look at 1 John verse chapter 3, verse 2. First John 3, verse 2. Behold, or beloved, now that we are the sons of God, and it's because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And it says, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he appears, now this is Christ returning, when he appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. And we shall be like him. We shall be spirit beings. But the important point here is to realize that with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, it makes us the children of God. And God loves his children. He truly does. To bless us by giving us his Holy Spirit, enabling us to grow and become part of his family. It shows how much love God the Father and Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us. And so he is expecting us to fulfill the use of the Holy Spirit. Now, people say, well, maybe I quenched the Spirit. Well, you never, ever fully quench the Spirit if you have the desire to repent and change. That's the key. The Spirit leads us into all truth. We understand that. You can refer to John 16, verse 13. Because of time, I'm just going to refer to that. It leads us into truth. John 14, verse 26 is another scripture. Very encouraging that it leads us and teaches us the truths of God. The Spirit glorifies and testifies that Christ is within us. You can read about that in James 15, verse... I'm sorry, I said James, it's John. Here again, my bifocals. John 15, verse 26. I'm getting new ones for the feast. I told Linda I would get new ones so I can hopefully see better. The Spirit reveals that Christ in us and is through us. It's so important that we understand, because we have God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we understand the plan of God. God from the very beginning has totally planned for all of mankind to be in his kingdom. Now that doesn't say everyone will be in it, because there will be individuals who choose not to be in the kingdom of God. But because of the Holy Spirit dwelling with us, we have the capability of being part of his family, and it will help us. One of the things that I like about the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we don't always think about this, is the Spirit teaches us to pray. It helps us in prayer. And you can read about that. Let's turn that to Romans chapter 8. I've always found this encouraging, because sometimes in life, you come home at the end of the day, you're exhausted and tired, and you wonder, you know, how can I get through the rest of the night? You're struggling to say your prayer at the end of the day. And I call them sleepy time prayers. If you ever experience a sleepy time prayer, sometimes you're just so tired and you can hardly stay awake, and you give a sleepy time prayer. And God understands that. He doesn't expect us to do sleepy time prayers every time we do prayer. But he understands that there are times when you just don't know, and your prayers just aren't seem like they're reaching God. And yet, he's very encouraging. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So, brethren, even the Holy Spirit is capable of helping us pray to God when we are struggling with prayer life. And it will come from time to time when we may be exhausted, or we just are having a hard time with a situation in life. It's never really easy sometimes. Life can be hard. Verse 27. And he that searches the heart knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. So I find that very encouraging for all of us. If we ever find a time where we're struggling in our prayer life, we can go to God, because the Spirit dwelling within us helps us. Now, we may struggle for a period of time, but we can always ask God, give me more of your Spirit. Help me to be more like you. And the Spirit will be there. So it even teaches us how to pray sometimes, even when we're having sleepy time prayers. We mentioned about it witnesses us that we are the children of God. You can find that over in Romans while we're here, Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man witnesses that we are the children of God. It's the combination of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man working together that creates us that we can be the children of God. Again, what a wonderful plan. God had this from the very beginning, that we are capable of being called the children of God. And that's something we shouldn't take lightly. It's an honor and it's a privilege to be called the children of God. There are many people out in the world that are searching, trying to find God. But because they haven't received the Holy Spirit, they're still out in the world. And so we're very, very fortunate, very, very blessed. And I hope you appreciate that greatly, how much that shows that we are the children of God because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And I mentioned about producing fruits, Galatians 5:22. That is a measuring tape of the Holy Spirit. Are we growing in love? Are we growing in the fruits of the Spirit? And if not, again, we need to develop these fruit that God wants us to have. One more point I want to emphasize. It guarantees us that one day we will be glorified children of God, even as Christ is. And we can read about that again while we're in Romans 8. Let's look at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, so if it dwells in you, and you'll know if you have it or not, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. What a wonderful blessing to know that we are guaranteed to be glorified just like Jesus Christ will be because of the Spirit that dwells within us. Brethren, as we prepare for the Feast of Pentecost, it is a wonderful blessing to know the plan of God, to know that God wants us in His kingdom, and He made it a way for each and every one of us to be there. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. What a fantastic blessing. Brethren, I want to encourage you to stir up the Spirit. Stir it up that's in you. Get motivated. Get zeal. Get drive. And seek out and use the Spirit for what it's intended, what God intended it for us. And Paul, just like many of the apostles, in the book of Timothy, let's turn there. Timothy, 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Now you probably know where I'm going with this. Chapter 1. We'll look at verse 6. Here Paul is encouraging Timothy. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, just like Paul is encouraging Timothy. Verse 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. So just like Paul's telling Timothy to stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of the laying of the hands. For God has not given us the power of fear. It's not a power of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. That, brethren, is the Holy Spirit, and that dwells within us. What a wonderful, fantastic blessing to be able to be called the children of God. Don't ever give up on God. He'll never give up on you. Let's look at verse 13. Again, this is what we need to do, brethren. This is what we need to do. We need to stay faithful. We need to endure to the end because it's going to be perilous times coming. I'm not going to paint a wonderful picture that we just go right into the kingdom. Everything's going to be fine. We've got to go through perilous times first. But we will go through those times, because the Holy Spirit will lead us, guide us, direct us, and help us to go through those perilous times. Let's look at verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. What are sound words? The instructions in the Bible. God's words are the sound words, which you have heard of me in faith and love. Now here again, Paul's telling Timothy, I want to encourage you, hold fast the form of sound words, which is the words of God, which have heard, you have heard in faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. Brethren, the kingdom of God is coming. It is coming, maybe in our lifetime, maybe not, but it is coming. Don't ever let anybody tell you, and there will be scoffers at the end time, where's this coming? He's been saying he's coming for years, and yet, you know, they lose faith. Brethren, we have to endure to the end. And we will endure to the end. We will be faithful if we continue to use the Holy Spirit as God intended.